Now we don't talk for a minute so I can put the fucking theme song in. Hello, and welcome to Rancor's Bruffle, issue number 24. It gets really confusing. We record this episode, or these episodes, in the fourth dimension.
We do.
In the point that we record one, and then 3 weeks later it comes out, we've recorded two more since then. So, I really don't fucking know. You?
I think we should just say, like, no, welcome to episode, and then just cut in a number, like, welcome to episode 4.
Dirty something.
Just completely different person or something.
I love everything about that. I'm Matt Etter, and with me as always is my co-host,
Dustin Leinenbach.
And with him is his hetero life mate, not so hetero life mate.
Is there someone behind me?
No, it's you.
No, oh, I'm not the.
It's me.
I'm not so hetero life mate. Oh, thank you. The man behind me. My name is Jeff Gorham.
Spread your cheeks, you queer bastard.
Spread your cheeks and lift your sack.
Or was that you inserting the voiceover?
What voiceover?
Oh, fair enough. So this is a fun time to record. We just did live Mad Chat a few hours ago. Gentlemen, it was great. What did you think?
I thought it was awesome.
Jeff?
I had a great time.
Great. Glad you enjoyed it, and I hope you guys at home did. If you didn't, go ahead and scroll back to Follow Networks or go to www.followthe.tv and, you know, check out what we did maybe 2 weeks ago, probably episode 54 of Mad Chat. It was a fun time. So, and we had a little cookout, we had some fun stuff, some, seven-layer dip that was left here, but...
How many layers are left?
Well, there's 5.5, I'll tell ya. anyway, plenty of booze, a lot of seven-layer dip, it's all good, some guacamoles, you know, whatever.
Guacamoles.
Dustin.
Yeah.
I spilled beer on my fucking penis just now.
So, is this my cue to...
Yes, lick it up, please. No, I want you to go ahead and just... Take over the show for a second and introduce.
All right, welcome to the best show ever with Jeff and I. We're going to call it...
And Matt's the guest star tonight.
Matt, damn it. Why are you here today on our show?
Because I have beer all over my dick.
Is that our topic today?
Beer, yes, dick? Beer on the dick.
Beer on the dick. Actually, we could probably all speak to that. We've all had beer on our dick.
I've been there before.
Yeah. I've had dick... No, wait.
You had dick in your beer?
I stick my dick in a lot of beer.
I've had beer in my dick.
Okay. I like my version way better.
Every time I open a beer for somebody, I put my penis in it.
Fair enough.
That's
a
tiny hole.
How do you get it through the hole in the can? That's insane.
Well, I have a tiny penis.
Without cutting it.
Oh.
We all know that's not a lie.
I just prefer
Justin Horsecock Leinenbach.
Well, see, when you try to...
Horsecock Leinenbach. I redeemed the tiny cock and bock.
Oh my gosh! That's awesome!
You hear that, Justin Carmer?
Yeah. He's not going to start calling me that.
What?
Horsecock Leinenbach.
He's still gonna love hearing you say it though. It gets me hard. I'm not gonna lie.
Horsecock Leinenbach.
Oh shit, that's your porn name.
I
like
love
mine's
it.
Like Fat Matt Eater. You know,
Matt Eater. Matt Eater.
Yeah, that's about it. Fat Matt Eat Her. And Jeff's like Jeff.
Jeff has really good sex, Gorham.
That's true. I've never heard, I've always heard, you know, I used to think that was just what girls said, was that it was the best ever, but you hear it enough times, you have to admit that, you know, it's probably true.
That brings up a really interesting point, and this comes out to you, 11th grade girlfriend, or I'm sorry, 12th grade girlfriend. If you aren't having an orgasm during sex, and you swear to your boyfriend every day that he does, then that boyfriend's going to go on for the next several years thinking he's making every woman come ever. And it's all your fault. You are creating a bad lover by pretending to have an orgasm. So if you do that, fuck you, you're a fucking liar. Die, you dumb cunt.
Matt's drunk, okay. By the way.
Oh, I'm a little drunk. I'm sorry.
Let's just...
Let's bring that in for a second.
Let's take a minute and talk about your 11-year-old girlfriend.
12th grade girlfriend.
Sorry, 12th grade girlfriend.
11 inch.
When I was in the 12th grade.
When you were in the 12th grade?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah. Great woman. Great person. Still does really good things in the world, and I really appreciate her as a friend. But I would never date her again.
I just wanted to verify that it's not 12th grade now.
No, God, no.
Okay.
Oh, my God, I did do that, didn't
yeah,
I?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, shit. It's a good thing our corporate lawyer is right here. Hey, Jeff, how are you today?
I'm phenomenal. I'm a little inebriated. How are you?
I'm really inebriated.
I'm all jacked up on these monsters.
Yeah, I love that the two of us are drinking like it's our job, and you're like... going to Mormon college.
We're on downers, you're on uppers.
Together we are one dead Elvis and one sober fat guy. What do we do next? What's our segments?
I think our first legit segment is Discount X-Men.
Okay, so discount. What do we got?
I like that a lot.
I'm going to fucking do that every week now. Just get me drunk, please.
I want to premiere the original Discount X-Man.
As I understand, this is the idea, like...
Yeah, this is the fella that spawned it.
Okay.
That spawned the other X-Men. We all know Brenton Frame, the voice of the show.
The voice of the show. The coffin guy at the end, if you don't know, guys.
The coffin guy at the end, yes. He and I are roommates. I'm sitting on the couch. He wakes up from a nap, comes downstairs, sits down on the couch. He's like, I had the craziest dream. It was vivid. It was about a man named Dage Rain Dan.
Say it again. Say it.
Dage is his first name.
Dage.
Dage, D-A-G-E, and Rain Dan is his last name. And this all came to him in a dream. So okay. That's the actual name. Dage Rain Dan.
Okay, so Dage Rain Dan...
He's a member of the... Or he's an officer in the... I believe it's San Francisco Police Department.
Okay, so he's gay. Okay.
He might be.
There's nothing wrong with that, but okay. He is a fanny bandit.
Picture he's the size of... excuse me. Who's the guy that turns metal? We talked about
Colossus.
He's the size of Colossus, right? Colossus isn't a big dude. He's just jacked, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, he's a pretty... I mean...
Tall?
He's like 6'2 normal.
Okay.
But when he goes into like Colossus mode, he actually gains about a foot. He's like 7'1".
This is Colossus before he goes into Colossus mode. He's just like
regular... So he's tall by a regular Midwestern human standard.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I'm like 5'11". I'm relatively tall for my area.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, he wears a red shirt, red like tight t-shirt, jeans, belt, probably with a belt buckle, and throughout his day, he is a typical police officer. He doesn't have any superpowers, but as we know, Discount Charles Xavier mentally tells him that he has one superpower, and it's a one-time use.
Uh-huh.
And it's that his fists are nuclear bombs. If he hits something with his fist, it will be a nuclear explosion.
Okay. Like how big? Like an atom bomb? Like a huge mushroom cloud?
Hiroshima, like full-on nuclear bomb, mushroom cloud, take out everything around him.
Him included?
Him included.
Okay.
That's why it's a one-time use. So, while he's out fighting crime, he doesn't punch anyone. He just like smacks them around.
He has to keep his fist open so that he doesn't accidentally set off the nuclear bomb.
Exactly.
It's like being a woman.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Jeff, how'd your marriage end?
It hasn't yet. You know, a lot of people
the courts
say,
are still contesting.
A lot of newlyweds say, you know, the hardest part about marriage is the first 3 months.
No, it's not.
I say, no, it's the last 3 months is the hardest part.
Ooh, I like that. Listen to the words of wisdom from Jeff Gorham over here. Back to the man with nuclear wombs.
So, Dage Rain Dan, sometimes, like, when he's just at home, so he doesn't, like, accidentally punch anything, he wears, like, Hulk hands.
Which so my son got for his birthday yesterday from Dustin Linenbach.
I was going to buy him a set.
I'm
glad.
Get him a set so his dad can use him as
I put him on last night and literally pretended I was going to beat my wife. Pretended. She has no bruises. You can call her. Her name's Natalie Adler.
Well, that's because you had Hulk hands on.
Yeah.
I'm not going to bruise her with those.
Well, I mean, they were the Hulk hands.
So back to
really funny.
Dan.
Like, I have really big hands. So, like, the Hulk hands just made it look like my fists, but they were green.
Okay.
It looked normal.
Right. So, it looks like your fist after touching yourself.
Like, they get engorged with blood.
Yeah.
Like a clit.
Like green blood?
Clitler. Go ahead.
Dage Rain Dan.
Hashtag Clitler.
We told you all about him. And he has a catchphrase. Well, a couple of them. First catchphrase is... my fists are nuclear bomb. That's what he's...
Because he's Russian.
Yeah.
Dage is a Russian name.
The rest of the time, he speaks perfect English. Doesn't have the accent.
He just uses that one bad verb.
But whenever he's like telling someone to, like, stand down. He's like, listen, listen, man, I can't hit you because my fists are nuclear bomb. And it just really confuses criminals. And his other catchphrase is, see, the government has been trying to hire him so they can throw him out of a plane, and he would just put his fists out, and then they're going to use him as a nuclear bomb.
Boom. Yeah. Okay.
And his other catchphrase is, lead with fists, not with face. Because if he led with his face, he would just get horribly, horribly disfigured, and nothing would happen. Because his fist didn't hit the ground first.
But if he led with his fist, he would incinerate.
Well, yeah, right. But if he's trying to do his duty, he's going to put his fists out, like a man.
Jeff, do you have a Discount X-Men? Or?
Yes, I do. I've seen the Discount X-Men, like Mystery Men with Ben Stiller. You remember that movie?
Yeah, great one. I got
that. Example.
Late 90s-ish.
That's based on the Flaming Carrot comics, of which I have issues number 3 and number 4.
So my Discount X-Men is the Cosmic Coupon Keeper. And he goes through the Cosmic Coupon Keeper. Yeah, he cuts out these coupons, right?
Does he have like Edward Scissorhand fingers?
No. Hang on a second.
He doesn't even cut them. He just keeps them.
So he cuts
okay.
the coupons out. He goes to the store, but he forgot the coupons at home on his counter. But that's okay because he remembers all the barcodes. So he gets up to the cashier and he goes, oh, yeah, that's barcode 374767 8934 to get the discount. And they're like, I'm sorry, I can't validate that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Punch it
so
in.
So his superpower is he can find, seek out, and remember all these barcodes. But he never remembers to take them.
I love that. They can't scan the barcode, so they can't validate it.
Right.
The thing I would love more, the only thing that would make that more funny to me is if instead of remembering the numbers, he was like, fat line, skinny line, skinny line, skinny line, fat line, fat line, medium line, skinny line, fat line. I would shit myself laughing.
Three quarters
line.
Yeah. Awesome. Tweener line.
Oh, 5/6. What? Okay. We don't have keys for that, sir, on the register. Well, deal with it, man. Just give me 50 cents off and we'll call it even. I love that. That's great. I don't have one this week. I didn't think of one. So.
Thank you.
No, here, off the top of my head, let's see. Storm deals with weather. So I'm going to go with, instead of storm, we're going to call it cuneiform.
Okay.
Okay, so cuneiform can, instead of controlling the weather, she can only control dead languages from the Middle East.
Okay.
So she happened to be an archaeology student, and her powers manifest while studying, let's say it's a Sanskrit tablet,
mm-hmm.
and her professor's trying to, he's translating it as he reads it out loud, and he's saying whatever message is on this particular tablet.
Yeah.
And
X-Gene activates.
X-Gene activates, she waves her hand,
yeah.
and immediately it's like a Sanskrit recipe for chicken soup. See, okay. That's all I got. I'm not that
so
funny.
So what's funny is, though, is as a scholar, you have to be able to validate your resources. She's the only person that can interpret this shit, so she can't really validate it.
I love
so
it.
So she's right every time, but no one knows it.
What about Porn Storm, where with a mental thought, she can make it rain naked people, but they don't slow down
that's
and land right. They
I
just
like.
Land naked and splatter blood everywhere. How does that work?
It's kind of intimidating.
It's kind of a superpower I'd like to have.
I'll come up with a good one next week, I'm sorry.
Oh, no. It's just fine. Is there really a good Discount X-Man?
No.
No, so.
There's not. Hey, Jeff, what's our next segment?
Oh, is it... no way you got to ask me 3 questions, right?
Oh, my God!
Oh, my God,
it.
I forgot. That's
do
the first
that,
one.
Quick.
Okay, Jeff.
You do listen to the show.
I do
so
listen
happy.
To the
oh my
show.
Gosh.
I didn't always, but I do now.
I listened to the Bourbon episode.
Thank you very much.
You're
I appreciate
welcome.
That.
Hey, and you know what? For the record, Jeff Gorm is one of our podcasters here at Follow Networks. Sorry. Dustin was getting up to get a fresh beverage while I'm talking. Jeff is the host of The Zymologist here at Follow Networks. And if you don't know what The Zymologist is, Jeff, you got a little quick crib notes?
Yeah, it's the study of Zymergy. So Zymergy is the study of yeast eating sugar and creating alcohol. So on the
so it's a study of yeast infection.
Boom. Absolutely. No, so the Zymologist is, we talk about beer, spirits, maybe eventually wine. I'm not a huge wine enthusiast as much as I am beer and spirits, but we discuss all that stuff.
Yesterday, my grandfather was here at the house, and he was asking about the podcast, and I said, yeah, it's good. We're growing. We got a new show called The Zymologist. And he said, what's that? And I said, a zymologist is a person who studies spirits. And my grandpa's like, huh? My grandpa's really hardcore Lutheran, and they're not real big on ghosty shit.
Like paranormal?
And he thought you were talking about, like, he thought I was talking about ghosts and stuff.
Like
and
on
he,
the Ghost Whisperer.
Yeah, like, he got really weird about it. I was like, no, booze spirits. So, yeah, it worked
That's
out.
Awesome.
And then Grandpa proceeded to get drunk with me and watch Blues Brothers. So.
Favorite movie
thank
ever.
Dan.
I want to riff track Dustin. It, but it's too good. It's just too good. You can't make fun of it.
I just forgot your name for a second, but that's
Three
cool.
Questions.
Three questions.
So,
Jeff,
if you could, I almost said if you could be any superhero. If you, or what, who
yeah,
is
if you could be a hero or a super person, who would it be?
That's a good one.
Ooh.
That's the one that you always say. Or what's your favorite superhero? What's your favorite super person?
It's kind of a dead tie. Whenever I was younger, I was huge into Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
for all his superpowers, but I was also a really big. I had about 6 or 7 Iron Man action figures, and all kinds of different ones, right? So the different body armors and such, and so those. I would have to say Iron Man, and the reason being is because, you know, I've always been known as the smart one amongst all my family and friends. So I would always
say that's what they tell you.
Yeah, that's what it's not set the bar really high, right? I come from a trailer park. But no, I mean, to me, the greatest superpower being intelligence and unlimited resources really speaks to me, so I like that.
Okay.
So, okay, Iron Man is a human with a suit. If you could pick a superpower, like if you were bit by some crazy bug and it gave you a superpower, what would it be?
Well, if I were a student at Middletown High and I... Midtown High, sorry, and went to a lab, I would say I would want Wolverine superpowers.
Well, if you could only pick one, though.
Only one?
Which one of the superpowers?
Wolverine only has one superpower, for the record.
Yeah, it's indestructibility, basically.
It's his survival instinct. It's his heightened
everything. What about his ability to, like, chew on cigars and make it look super badass? Not everybody
that's
can do that.
Not everybody can do that, but that's not super.
Style.
That's
super to me.
No, like Wolverine is the guy from the Dos Equis commercials. The most interesting man in the world.
Yeah.
That's Wolverine.
That's Wolverine?
Yeah, that's old Wolverine from Days of Future Past.
You know, I've been watching those, and I thought that was like my actual dad. Not like... I'm saying... The guy that I thought was my dad?
I don't want to bring it down, but didn't your dad die a while ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Okay, okay.
He died when I like before I turned 5.
Okay.
So I don't really remember him. I'm pretty sure the most interesting man in the world is my dad.
Oh, I will concur. Because the stories you told me about him are pretty fucking interesting.
Yeah. Well, that's another show.
I don't remember him being Hispanish.
Hispanish?
Yeah.
He might be.
Fair enough.
He might be me padre.
What superpower... would you choose to have, Jeff?
I would want Wolverine's just survival instinct, just the indestructibility. I mean, the adamantium...
So your favorite super person is Wolverine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the power you would want is Wolverine's...
to be able to heal.
They say that it's not a healing factor, that it's actually a survival factor.
Yeah.
That whatever you do to Wolverine, a part of him would stay alive in Marvel 616.
That's what I want.
Okay. So you want to live forever, even if it's just one brain cell floating in a jar.
Ooh.
You're not able to control your fate.
But if you were a brain cell floating in a jar, you probably wouldn't have to pay a whole lot of taxes, right?
You wouldn't pay any, I'd imagine.
Fuck no, the government's always going to want their cut.
They're always going to want their cut.
They always want their piece, right? Fucking invisibility.
Okay, so when you eat food... When you eat food, can you see it?
God damn it.
Can you see it going into you or not? Does your skin... Are all of your cells in your body see-through? Or is it just your outer
food,
skin is refracts the light
the
and you can't
isn't,
see it?
Isn't, the food isn't a cell of mine until it's digested. So, yeah, you'd
be well, even then,
see
when
it.
It's digested, are you going to just see a... Like, okay, I'm invisible now, but there's still a little bowl of poo... In your bowels.
No, because that's already metabolized as part of me.
Okay. So what about if you are invisible
and
you're running
off?
Around, there is dust everywhere and dirt everywhere. As soon as you move, you're going to start to have a clear film on
point.
You of dirt and scuzz, and the yeast on your skin replicates at like 5 times a fucking minute. So your entire
all, some of it powder coated.
Yeah. There is no such thing as true invisibility in this world.
All right, fine. X-ray vision.
Fucking oxygen. Fucking oxygen is only 99% clear.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. I've always said before on this segment, you've got to be fucking specific, right?
Yeah.
I thought I was pretty specific.
If you bend light around you, then the whole dust thing and the poo in your bowels doesn't play a factor. But if you just say, I'm invisible, then that means your cells are invisible and clear, and the other shit can happen.
I read somewhere they're, like, working on a cloak that has, it has a whole lot of electronics in it, and they use cameras and, like...
Yeah, it's like one of the cars from a Bond film, where it takes a picture from one side of the camera and displays it on the other.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But it's like it's a cloak that you can wear.
Which they did in the G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra movie. Hmm. Which most of the technology portrayed in that film is actually prototype.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, prototype phase.
Pretty cool.
That's something you could do.
Yeah.
Do you want to refract light or do you want to be invisible? Do you want to bend light, create force fields like Invisible One?
I want to refract the light and create force fields, yeah.
Deal.
Specific enough.
Thank you.
Wise ass.
We need that's on the show all the time. He needs to talk back.
That's the thing, though. That's the point. Like, everybody's like, oh, I want heat vision. Okay, great. Hey, here's a quick question. If you have heat vision and you don't have Kryptonian eyeballs, how does it not melt your fucking retinas? Explain. Nobody can come up with it.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So, that's what I'm here to do. Put a little reality in your Kryptonian fucking fantasy eyelids.
Thank you, Matt. What'd you say?
Kryptonian eyelids.
Just the
Kryptonian
eyelids?
Kryptonian eyelids. That's all you want.
So it doesn't melt me. Yeah.
What do we do next, Dustin?
We do
uncircumcised. Third question.
Pineapples. What are your thoughts on them?
Ooh. Well, see, that's the weird
thing.
You saw
the pineapple juice right there, didn't you?
I did. I did. I chose some in the room.
It doesn't come from a pine tree, and it's not an apple. It kind of makes me think of grapefruit, right? So, like, I don't say pear fruit or banana fruit.
Yeah.
You say grapefruit, though, which is neither a grape.
But there's a grape.
That's what he's saying.
A grapefruit, or there's a grape that is a fruit. So I don't say, you know, banana fruit.
But you can eat pine nuts, so maybe you should say pine fruit. Pineapple.
But see, it didn't come from a pine tree, though.
It's a citrus fruit, too, which apples are not. So that's a good
tropical
point.
Tropical citrus, yeah. So, I mean, it doesn't come from a pine tree. Why is it called pineapple?
It's actually a bush. And the part that we eat as a fruit comes up with like a carrot. Like
did Bob Dole name it?
No, but the Dole family, like he's a part of that Dole family that owns
did they name
then.
It?
The pineapple? I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and say that the pineapple is older than Bob Dole. Just a shot in the dark.
I don't know. Did you?
That could be our versus.
Can you verify that?
That could be our versus for this week. Pineapple or Bob Dole?
I think a pineapple could totally defeat Bob Dole at this point.
I think so, too.
He's like 97.
Yeah.
I mean...
And if it struck him on the left side, forget it.
Yeah, he's like the last World War II veteran ever.
He's not going to block that shot.
I'm sorry, he's the last half of a World War II veteran ever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so do you like pineapples?
Oh, yeah, I love pineapples.
Excellent. Moving on. Next.
Uncircumcised... What do we say? Superheroes?
Super person.
Super person?
We're going to be politically correct on this show.
I hope so.
So, uncircumcised super person, Dustin. I have nothing, but Jeff said he had somebody.
Jeff, who's your uncircumcised super person?
Oh, I had a couple of them. First
do tell.
Is Jean Grey, because if it's not there, you can't circumcise it.
But Jean, let's say Jean Grey has a really huge clit and an extra chromosome.
Then why would they trim it?
In comic literature, have we seen her lady parts?
No.
So how do we know she's not a she-male?
That's fucking interesting.
Okay,
man.
Here's how we know. Ready? Mr. Sinister had her cloned, and a clone is a genetic copy, a perfect genetic copy, which became Madeline Pryor, which Scott Summers made a baby with, who became Cable. So if she was a she-male, she could not have a baby.
Even
a clone.
I don't know all the like specifics of a she-male. Like,
a she-male is a woman? No, a she-male, that's a hermaphrodite. And even then, hermaphrodites, their female parts do not function.
They're not developed enough?
A hermaphrodite can have a baby with another woman, but it cannot have one with a male.
No, I don't think that it can impregnate a woman because it's sterile. It's like a mule.
Like a mule? It's not two different species. A mule is two different species.
I said it's like a mule. I didn't say it was a mule. I said it's like a mule.
Fair enough. Good call.
We're trying to be correct on this show, people.
So for all those in the hermaphrodite community that we just offended, I apologize for my initial shortcomings.
So the next uncircumcised superhero I have is, okay, Banshees from Scotland. I don't think that they practice circumcision on that island as much, so I'm willing to bet. If I were a betting man, I'd put my money on Uncut.
Banshee Uncut. I'll go with that.
And I bet the reason that they don't practice it over there is because it's hard to say that word in a Scottish accent.
Say it.
Circumcision.
Hold on. Circumcision. Let me think about my Scottish accent. Circumcision. Yeah. It's not too bad.
It's okay.
So, man, go ahead.
I agree with you completely. I want to point out, too, that there's a time period point. Circumcision in Europe and Western United States, or the Western world, whatever, sorry, the United States, wasn't really prevalent until the 1950s.
Really?
Okay? So most of us, our grandfathers, probably uncut. Or if they got it was done later in life for whatever reason.
Yeah, you talked about this with Wolverine. I mean, he was from the 1800s, so
uncut. Banshee came about in the 60s, and by then he was already like 20 years old. So he's born in the right time period to not be a circumcised superhero.
What about the Thing?
Oh, the Thing? You couldn't even cut through it.
This is like a Mallrats thing. Right? Yeah, talking about the big orange door.
You brought that up earlier today, the big orange door.
Yeah, I mean, like, how would you be able to cut through it? You would need some sort of angle grinder.
Fantastic Four came out in like 62 or 63.
I picture him laying on the ground and a bunch of construction guys with a jackhammer.
He's like, no, to the left. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you would need some sort of hydro concrete cutter, or an angle grinder to get through that.
And that's what makes this such a compelling story, because for the modern era, for people that read comic books now, generally speaking and statistically speaking, most of us are cut. Okay, we're circumcised.
Right.
That's the way the world works now. Most of us, I said, one out of three over there. So the superheroes and supervillains that were created a generation or two ago, they probably weren't. And so it's just a silly thing, but fuck it. I like it. It's fun to talk about.
Yeah. I like our segment.
You spend your whole life like looking up to a superhero because you see part of yourself in them. And then you're like, oh, but they have their foreskin. So, no, I got to move on.
That's why weird, man, right?
Wolverine was my favorite until I found out he had a god dang foreskin.
Oh, never now I'm going to Deadpool. Cut it off. Yeah. Deadpool would probably have one, too. Deadpool was created in 91, but they never explained his backstory, and he has a supreme healing factor like Wolverine. So
they
he
never
could
explained
have
his front story
years.
Either.
Uh-oh.
I bet he was born in the 60s.
You think? Free love and what have you?
No, I'm just saying after the 50s, whenever the circumcision ritual became more prevalent in the Western Union.
Western
civilization.
So welcome to our new segment, Circumcised Superheroes. Number one, Deadpool. Okay, next segment.
Yeah. Star Wars Minute? Is that right?
Oh, yeah, Star Wars Minute. Yay! Today we're going to talk about the Cantina Band, thanks to Miss Natalie Etter and Music to Your Ears.
Who, in my opinion, has the best Follow Networks podcast?
Well, thanks, dickhead!
I just got punched by two people to have their own podcast. No, I really do.
I have two pods. No, I have three pods. Jeff's got one. You've got one. God damn it.
No, I really enjoy her podcast. She speaks very well, and I enjoy the, like, all of the depth and knowledge that comes out of it. And I like
she
music.
She enjoys your wife's depth.
Do you plumb her depth?
And she has mothered my son.
Oh, went too far. Okay, so she wanted to talk about the Cantina Band this week. So the Cantina Band, I'm going to read most of this from Wikipedia because I didn't know it beforehand. The Cantina Band is called Figrin the Ann and the Modal Nodes, which is also known as the Cantina Band. And they, you saw them in Star Wars A New Hope. They played the which was pretty much the exact same, like, four bars on repeat constantly. And it really doesn't change much if you listen to the John Williams score, which I have on CD because I'm that nerdy. They were Biths. Bith, that's B-I-T-H.
What's a Bith?
A Bith is a race in the Star Wars Expanded Universe. Bald aliens with black eyes, large black eyes.
Ooh, I see a picture there on the Wikipedia page.
Okay, yeah, yeah. And they have like little gills kind of up their cheeks. But they look like the traditional grays. The gray aliens, you know, from like Roswell and shit.
I think it would be super awesome if like a spaceship came down and landed, you know, all creepy like and with the lights and stuff. The ramp lowers. And then you hear, and then like kind of march out, dancing and stuff. That would make that experience so much more exciting.
I like that one of them is playing a bassoon, essentially. See this one right here?
Yeah.
He's got like the long pipe leading to the double reed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. I don't know. I don't know what to think of that. Anyway, the band is made up of seven members, all Bith from the planet Clackdoor 7. The leader of the band is Figurin Dayan, as the name clearly implies. The band was popular across the galaxy during the Clone Wars, which is silly because why are they playing in a dive bar on Tatooine? Touring the frontiers and entertaining Republic soldiers. By the time Luke Skywalker reached adulthood, however, they were reduced to playing in seedy cantinas for a living, like I just fucking said. God damn it. Fuck you, Wikipedia. Only six of the members were playing when Luke Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi walked into the cantina. Lorin Karn sat out during the performance because he was not needed. That was really stupid exposition. I did not need to know that Lorin Karn was taking a coffee break.
That's the kind of information that needs to be known.
That's the funny shit is that, like, the Star Wars Expanded Universe is so deep that, like, I know that Lorin Karn was taking a coffee break when Luke Skywalker and Obi-Wan walked into the fucking cantina in Mos Eisley.
I personally have a lot of respect for the attention to detail. I really do. I think that's awesome.
And that's what the point of the Star Wars Minute is, to let you know a little bit more about that one great sci-fi dynasty, Star Wars. Mm-hmm. So, what do we do now?
Are we ready for the verses?
So, the verses... tonight we got a three-way battle.
Three-way.
A three-way all over her tits. Face, neck, and chest. This is a very silly theme that we thought of. Yeah. So who are the guys are fighting tonight?
Three fellows with similar names. Very similar names. Spelled differently.
One of them is spelled differently.
I think they're all spelled differently.
No.
Yeah, one of them is spelled differently.
Yeah.
Okay, we have three guys all named Scar. I'm going to give you a second to try to think of some scars.
Jeff, are you okay? You look like you're having a conniption fit. Did you lose somebody in your fantasy draft?
I'll tell you guys later.
You know, when I read sci-fi fantasy, I don't need to play fantasy football. I'm just saying.
I think that's why I've never been any good at fantasy football.
Because you keep trying to draft a dragon and an orc.
Because there's no, like, mace. I feel like there should be more dexterity bonuses in... in fantasy football. Dexterity strength bonuses, of course. Well,
for the two-point conversion, definitely.
Well, duh.
Dicks.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's
so
great.
All these
we
guys...
should do sci-fi fantasy football.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
That's going to be a segment next time.
No, we have too many segments. We're already half an hour into this.
So we'll get rid of one of the other ones for
fuck
now.
That. No, man. Everybody needs to know about uncircumcised superheroes.
So we can drop Discount X-Men for one time?
No, because I need to know that shit, too. Let's go.
Okay. Well, here. Scars. The first scar is from a show that Matt and I enjoy. We watch. We review. We put it out on our podcast.
It's called
Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, you say Battlestar Brothel.
Oh, my
Brothel.
God. I'm like,
I'm
we both love
Battlestar
this show.
Brothel.
Oh, yeah, Battlestar Brothel.
That's
yeah.
what we call the show, damn
right,
it.
Right.
Battlestar Galactica. Scar is a Cylon Raider.
I was trying to think of Scar's name earlier.
But the whole theme is about people named Scar.
Well, right. How'd you forget that? Well, I was trying to think of, like, I was trying to
I can't see out of my right eye anymore. I'm really getting blackout drunk. Just so we know going forward.
So Jeff, you and I might have to take this over after the verses, of course. That's we'll talk about beer.
That's not that funny. I'm really wow. Hey, Scar.
Okay, yeah. So Scar from Battlestar Galactica. He's a Cylon. He's one of the Cylons that flies around in space.
He's a raider. He's a Cylon raider. He's not.
What are the other Cylons that walk around?
Cylon. Not gladiator, but it's an ancient Roman Greek word.
Cylon Raider of the Lost Ark.
No, not it at all. Cylon.
Goliath or
fuck no,
it's something like
you're
that. Right?
So close. We'll, to
we'll
it.
Come to it'll come to us. Mm. All right. The next one is going to be a fellow from Lion King.
Simba's uncle Scar,
Simba's
voiced
uncle Scar,
by Jeremy Irons,
who kills his dad. Saddest part of the whole movie.
No, I think the part where they're like, "Can you feel the love tonight?" Because that was
where you're like sitting alone in your living room.
No, because that they were fucking.
Yeah.
I don't care how you spin it. That is a Disney animated film with fucking in it.
Why is it sad?
Because I lost my innocence that way.
Okay, fair.
Because I lost my innocence that time I fucked that lion.
You're a horrible person.
That time that chick lion statutorily raped me.
I picture police officers running through
the... She was a cougar, get it?
Police officers running through a zoo, and a bunch of people standing around the lion's den, and Matt just going to town
just jacking
on a lion.
Off. No, right? Okay. Just well, no, if it was statutory rape, the lion would have to be on top.
Matt was getting... Gone down, like, the lion was
the lion was getting gone down on, is that...
By Matt.
My okay, God, if a lion...
Let's skip across this.
I'm sorry,
Scar.
If a lion's sandpaper tongue licked my balls, they'd be gone. Like, that would... They'd rip right off, right?
Yeah, I would
think so.
It's like
a cat tongue, but like, a foot across.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
You would lose your balls.
No.
Okay, the third Scar is going to be Hulk's son. Yeah, his name is Scar. They call him, like, the King of the Jungle at one point.
What? No.
No, they call him something of the jungle.
He is Scar of the Old Strong.
Scar of the Old Strong. There's a couple
S-K-A-A-R.
Different names. Yes. He's like, picture the Hulk, slim him down a little bit, give him, like, a teenage body. I mean, but, like...
But he's gray. He's not green.
I think he's green.
I think I've been watching Hulk and the Agents of Smash every week for two. Like
I think
four
I've
months.
Pinned him so many times on Pinterest.
No, you're wrong.
And he's always green.
No, you're way wrong. Scar is gray.
Okay.
Oh,
listeners,
my God.
Listeners, go to our...
No, listeners.
Listen. Listeners, go to our Pinterest account, Rancor's Brothel. Just...
Fuck, the train's going by.
That's fine.
Pause. I'm going to call for a vote, and winner loses, or tases the loser in the foot, in the bottom of the foot, barefoot.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. All right, sorry about the little edit point there, guys. Here's what's happening. Dustin believes that Scar, the son of the Hulk, is green. I say he's gray. We're going to take it to a vote, and we are going to cite comic books. So if you could please tweet us or Facebook us, or call us on ourselves. We don't really care. The winner gets to tase the loser on the air in the bottom of the foot with nothing on, no sock or shoe, just a taser to the foot.
Okay, that's fair.
So that's a deal.
I will say I was trying to think of another name of him. His name is like, well, they've called him King of the Savage Land is one of the his aliases. So.
No, that's Kazar. Kazar is the leader of the Savage Land. We're talking about Scar.
Scar, it's on Wikipedia too.
Fuck Wikipedia. That's not a fucking empirical source.
You just read from it for the Star Wars minute.
Well, I could be wrong. I didn't bet a taser on the foot to it, did I?
No, I'm bad about losing bets.
Okay, here's a guy that has the strength of the Hulk.
Yes.
As he gets more and more angry, he gets stronger.
Mm-hmm.
He also has the power of the Old Strong from his mother, Saira, who was the lover of the Hulk from the Planet Hulk storyline.
Mm-hmm.
So, strength of the Hulk in a very young body. He's only about 2 years old, but he has a mature body. versus Scar the Lion and Scar the Cylon Raider.
Yes.
Who would win? Oh, what do we got to do?
We got to roll.
We got to roll, but I don't have my dice. Jeff,
D20's 1
through
there,
20.
Right?
Just pick a number.
16.
Go. What do we got?
A rabbit orphanage. Rabbit.
Yes.
So what the fuck is a rabbit orphanage?
There's a. It's an orphanage where, like,
rabbits
tiny
are held.
Baby. You don't. I guess rabbits aren't raised there, are they?
Yeah, that's what an orphanage
is. That's where they go. Where
are they bred there?
Die.
No, not bred there. They're orphaned.
So they're bred somewhere else, and.
And then Mommy and Daddy Rabbit are like, we can't afford you anymore. We have to leave you here.
They leave. Mommy and Daddy Rabbit leave their baby rabbits on a doorstep. So
oh, my God.
There's a basket there just completely empty, but with a bunch of tiny rabbits bouncing around on the steps.
There's another basket next to it full of carrots.
Yeah. There you go.
I love it.
Okay, so rabbit orphanage.
They're at a baby bunny orphanage full of tiny, cute bunnies.
Scar the Lion is there just like
eating.
It's a buffet.
Yeah. It's like, oh, they're so tender
there's
when
blood,
they're young.
There's already blood everywhere. He's got blood all over his mouth.
And then Scar Hulk's son walks in to get a bunny.
Is
that's where you go.
Is he going to raise his bunny, or is he just going there? Is
no,
like,
he's
going
to go raise a bunny.
Oh, I figure.
I mean, he's 2 years old.
Okay.
He wants a friend. He's lonely.
Okay. So I guess a two-year-old would want a bunny. So.
And happened to be flying over in the sky is the Cylon Raider Scar,
mm-hmm.
who has decided to destroy all human habitations. And he sees this bunny orphanage.
I feel like...
I can't say it straight.
I feel like Scar, King of the Savage Land, I swear to God, it's Scar.
I'm going to fucking beat the shit out of you next week.
Or tase me.
With a taser.
Yes. He goes there to get a bunny, but he finds all of them... completely ripped apart. So his
reaction
his
is
incentive,
to kill whoever's around.
Right. So he goes straight after Scar the Lion. And I think between those two, Scar, King of the Savage Land, would just tear Scar the Lion apart.
I actually think he would take Scar the Lion, break its neck, and then throw it at Scar the Cylon.
Okay.
As a robot.
Mm-hmm. I'm saying Scar, strength of the Hulk, right? Because he's just showing no mercy.
Mm-hmm.
No mercy.
Yeah. But you got a Cylon Raider flying over?
Okay, well, let's establish
Scar couldn't even fucking beat his nephew Simba.
It's very true.
Yeah.
And he also had Nazi goose-stepping marching hyenas.
He did.
Ooh, yeah.
Hmm. It's very scary.
Yeah.
Be prepared. I love how they take the Boy Scout motto and they make it into the bad guy's song in a Disney movie. That was the name of the tune, was Be Prepared.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like fucking... Why don't you say do your best, you Cub Scout hating motherfuckers at Disney? Anyway.
Okay, so Scar the Lion, he's out of the fight at this point. He's like a splatter mark on the side of the
He's just staring at me. Go ahead. Sorry.
He'd run and hide.
Who would?
Scar the Lion. He wouldn't even show up to the fight.
You don't think that Scar, King of the Savage Land, would. I think he would be able to catch Scar the Lion. He sees him there.
Yeah.
He catches him.
The Lion, I don't know if he would even show up to the fight. He's kind of a pansy in the movie.
Well, it's not
he
his
didn't
choice.
He fight Mufasa head on.
He doesn't know the fight is happening until Scar, King
Say
of the
again.
Savage Land, attacks
Mufasa! Oh, shit.
That could be an intro, too.
Go ahead.
Is Scar the Lion dead?
Lion's dead.
Lion's dead. Okay.
I mean, we know that the lion's dead because if you pay attention in Disney timelines, Hercules is wearing Scar in the film Hercules.
Is he really?
Yeah. He's posing for a statue or a painting on a vase or something, and he's wearing a lion, and the lion is clearly that same color with the scar over the left eye.
So I picture... Scar Hulk's son, he kills Scar the Lion, and then Hercules walks in and just grabs Scar the Lion by the tail and like drags him out and starts gutting him outside, skinning him.
And in the meantime, Scar Hulk's son has realized that a Cylon Raider is firing upon him, at which point he jumps into the atmosphere to attack the Raider.
He could jump high enough, for
sure,
right?
Yeah, I mean, the Hulk can, so why
I think
Scar?
He does some evasive maneuvers first. And then when it gets a chance, when there's a break in the, I don't know, what are Raiders? Firing, yeah. I guess. He jumps straight up at the Cylon Raider.
At this point, we don't have much of a continuity for Scar from Hulk.
Yeah.
And I would have to say that, yeah, he could outlast any space-going vessel that wouldn't just immediately destroy a planet like the Death Star.
So he jumps up and he clings onto this thing, right?
Yeah, and just starts tearing the shit out of it. Because as we know, Scar, the Cylon Raider, on the inside is just flesh and blood like us. Mm-hmm. So as long as he breaks through the iron outer hull,
and that's not he'll destroy it.
Yeah. So I think Scar would win. Without a lucky shot from Scar the Cylon, mm-hmm. Scar Hulk's son would kill him.
So are we anywhere near a resurrection point?
Oh, resurrection ship?
Yeah.
Let's leave that out of this.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean, Scar Hulk's son was born in a in the middle of a volcano in a lava pit.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think there's much that could happen that he would not survive.
Okay, so I think...
Just like the Hulk.
Yeah. Scar Hulk's son wins the battle.
All right, then. We agree to agree.
Oh, I think all three of us, yeah.
Let's shake hands. Oh, and Jeff, welcome to the conversation. Sorry.
Yeah, hey.
Sorry, I'm unfamiliar with some of the characters that you were discussing.
And you're playing fantasy football.
That's all right. Most of our guests don't chime in for that.
So let's talk about something Jeff's interested in.
Jeff, what do you like to do and talk about?
I like to drink. I like to talk about drinking.
Oh, my God, me too.
Really?
I do
We're
as well.
We're brothers or something, right? No, so that's what I'm here to talk about this week, yeah.
What's that?
Drinking.
So let's bring up the point now that Jeff hosts a show on Follow Networks called The Zymologist. Jeff, what's a zymologist?
A zymologist studies the process of yeast eating sugar to create alcohol.
I have a feeling of deja vu.
Yeah. Like a yeast infection, I said. Right? That was what I said next.
Yeah, that would be funny if you said that now.
Like a... Say, like a dirty pussy?
Yeah, like an unpleasant pussy.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. Okay, so your show. You talk about spirits and booze and wine and beers. How alcoholic can a beer be before it becomes liquor?
You know, there's... Liquor is made from different stuff. So beer typically made from different grains than from your standard spirits. Typically, once you get around the 10% mark, you are considered to be barley wine or, you know, is a type of beer, a portion of beer. And that's exactly what it sounds like, wine made from barley. Sam Adams has a beer that's over 20% alcohol by volume. It's like 23-ish.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, the Utopias. And so it's a
Can
beer.
I buy that at Kroger?
Probably not. You're probably going to have to go to a liquor store.
Like special order probably, right?
Yeah. I mean, every once in a while one will pop up at, you know, your high-end liquor stores, like Conn's or Big Red, but usually...
Big Red is not high-end. I'm sorry.
It was at one point. I mean, I've known Big Red for a long time. I've had friends that worked in and out of there. At one point, it was kind of a higher end place. Not anymore.
I bought enough Keystone Light at Big Red to not consider
bought
that high
Keystones,
end.
Keystones, huh?
Yeah. It's like cheap Coors Light. I like Coors Light.
Yeah, that's true.
I think by default, I have to jump in and put my vote in for Big Red, just because I have a good friend that works there. So.
I have no problem with Big Red. I love Big Red liquors.
Okay.
I'm saying it's not a high-end liquor store in the sense that if I could go there, I could buy a nice pair of teeth.
Like, you don't see a guy in a three-piece suit
walking in. Yeah, they went discount a couple years ago.
Like, my favorite liquor ever is Calvados. I can't find that at Big Red.
Is that a high-end liquor? Or?
It's a very what's the weird word I'm looking for? It's a very localized liquor.
Okay.
It's a apple brandy made only in Normandy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very widespread. It's used mostly as a palate cleanser, but I found it delicious. And whenever I can get a hold of it, my family's from Normandy. And so whenever we go visit or they come visit us, they bring a bottle of Calvados.
That's cool.
And I'll just sit down and drink the whole thing and enjoy the shit out of it. It's so good.
Awesome.
Yeah. Apple brandy. I come from Apple Peoples, I guess.
Very good. So, Jeff?
Yeah, so on The Zymologist, I talk about the scientific breakdown of a lot of different, whether it's brewing techniques, distilling techniques for spirits, or what actually happens during the aging process, things like that. So previously I've discussed during the brewing process the breakdown of extracting starches out of the grains to get the sugar, mm-hmm. and then how the yeast will interact with the sugar to create alcohol. And with the distilling process, I've discussed different aging techniques, you know, different variations between bourbons and scotches.
Uh-huh.
Right now I'm on a whiskey kick.
Mm-hmm.
But
talk a little bit about the amount of water that you put in affects the outcome of the liquor, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't there a big problem, like Maker's Mark or somebody said they were going to put in more water?
Because it actually makes it stronger, right?
Well, they were going to drop their proof, and they were going to end up what they would bottle would have less alcohol in it. And a lot of people...
And everybody freaked out. And
yeah, they have a Maker's Mark ambassadors, like a sort of a premium subscriber network. And a lot of those people pissed and moaned, and they Maker's Mark listened. And they decided not to drop the proof, and they raised the price a little bit, but it's not drastic.
Okay. Kudos to you, Maker's Mark, for listening to your consumer.
I enjoy Maker's Mark.
I enjoy any American business that listens to the consumer. Fuck it. You
absolutely.
Know?
And that listens to the Rancor's Brothel, because you just shout out to them.
Yeah, so Maker's Mark, they have a high-end, I haven't talked about this on the show, but they have a high-end bourbon called Maker's Mark 46. And so that's their next higher-end mark on top of Maker's Mark, and a lot of people wonder, well, what's the 46 for? What they did was, whenever they put it in, the bourbon has to go into an unused oak barrel, and it's charred.
Yeah.
What they did on top of that was put it into a second barrel, and they had dozens of different charring techniques that they use for these barrels, different time amounts, different heat temperatures, and subject 46, the combination of heat and time, temperature and time, was the right amount. So they called it Maker's Mark 46.
Very cool.
Is that what they think Jack Daniels is, the old number?
Seven.
Old number seven?
Mm-hmm.
Is that where they think that came from? Because nobody knows for sure.
I'm not exactly sure about the number. I mean, I know a lot about JD's brewing or distilling techniques, but I don't know why it was called number seven.
And, well, nobody knows. That's what I'm saying. Like, in the the private sector, nobody knows exactly why. Nobody's ever said for sure.
Hmm.
But there's like a rumor that it was that. It was the batch number seven that was the best, and they chose to follow the recipe, or that the whiskey was delivered, or the ingredients were delivered by the number seven engine.
Yeah.
Maybe seven men died trying to perfect the first.
Or maybe it was made by the blood of seven virgins.
Yeah, I mean, it's like.
It is tasty.
It's like WD-40. It's water displacement in the 40th formula that they tried, yeah.
Yeah, I learned that from Justin Carmer, actually. So.
Okay.
Well, that's just a fun fact, I guess.
Yeah, so Jack Daniels isn't actually a bourbon. A lot of people consider
it. Didn't say it was. It's Tennessee whiskey.
No. Well, it would be a bourbon other than the fact that they run it through a charcoal filter. So they run it through charcoal, which adds color to the what they call white dog, or
the mash.
Fresh off the still.
It's clear coming out the still?
Yeah, it's clear.
All liquor, as I understand it, is clear coming out.
Yeah, it's like moonshine, unaged whiskey. And so what they do is, whenever it's passed through the charcoal, that adds color to it, and that eliminates it from being a bourbon, because you can't do anything to add to the color of the solution. Okay. Other than that, it's a bourbon. I mean, it's done exactly the same way. That's the only difference.
That might explain why I like it so much. Because I love bourbon.
I mean, I like all kinds of different whiskeys, but yeah, that's one of my favorite. You can find it anywhere at any time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know what? The drink of choice of two of my favorite Americans, Seth MacFarlane, and he drinks it because it was the drink of choice of Old Blue Eyes.
Yeah, it's good enough for it's good enough for Frank Sinatra. It's good enough for me.
Fucking A. Hell, some of the stuff that Frank Sinatra wasn't good enough for, I wouldn't even touch, you know? Like, that guy is so far above me. Fuck that. How do they infuse whiskey with the flavor of cherry, like in Jim Beam's Red Stag? Because I'm drinking a bunch of it right now.
It's efficient. Like,
I forgot my phone number earlier.
Well, I don't call myself much, so I forget my phone number every day. I mean, I... no, they basically pop open a cask, and they probably dump some cherries in there.
I mean, that simple. Put cherries in it, or do they have to put like a like a cream de cassis, like a cherry liqueur.
They could do that. I mean, there's, I don't know exactly about Red Stag, but there's a bunch of different ways that you could do it. It's like dry hopping a beer or adding extra hops. Well, how do you do it?
I'm sorry, I dry humped a chick once.
Dry hop.
Pause.
No, the engine's already passed, so it's got to be able to cut it. Oh, never mind. You're both dumb.
How do you infuse a cherry flavor into bourbon?
Now, this is a point of contention for me, because I love bourbon. Mm-hmm. My favorite liquor of all.
A good
sipping whiskey, as I call it, but it's bourbon. I don't sit and sip, you know, Jack Daniels. I sip a bourbon.
Okay.
Lately, when I've been drinking heavily with friends, and I'm not drinking for the quality of the flavor, I'm drinking for the quantity I can get in my stomach and liver at one point. I enjoy taking shots of cherry-infused bourbons. Evan Williams has a really great cherry-flavored one that we had. And then right now in front of me is like a third of a bottle of Red Stag by Jim Beam. So it says on the cover, and you've said on the Zymologist before, that bourbon has several laws that have to be followed, or several rules for it to be considered a bourbon.
Yeah.
Same example as champagne comes from Champagne, France.
Yeah.
Okay, so everything else is sparkling white wine. Cristal, for instance, is not real champagne, right? Sparkling white wine.
Well, I've never had a bottle of Cristal. I mean, I don't have that kind of bread.
Yeah, I mean, that was a semester at college.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. No, I have nothing. Red Stag, Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey infused with natural flavors. So if they are taking something else distilled with another fruit, like a cherry, and adding it in, they can still say it's bourbon, but they have to say infused with? Is that what I understand?
Yeah, or? I mean, to give the listeners some background, they haven't listened to the Zymologist yet. So bourbon makers in Kentucky went to Congress way back when, because they there were a lot of counterfeiters that were making whiskey out there and calling it bourbon.
Yeah, there was like an Irish bourbon. There was
And it was shitty quality. I mean, it was terrible. And so what they did was they went to the U.S. Congress and asked them to pass laws to say, you know, it has to be made in America. It has to be in unaged oak barrels. It has to be in this and this and this. And so
51% corn or
at least 51% corn. So let me see the bottle real quick.
Yeah.
So the way I see this is they're saying that it is Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey first.
With.
Infused with natural flavors. So for me being the lawyer, I see that as two different operative terms.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it's bourbon. They're not calling this solution bourbon. They're saying that it's bourbon infused with other flavors.
So it's like when I take my Flintstone vitamins and then I drink NyQuil afterwards to get really high. Wait, what?
No, so I mean, they're not calling that bourbon. They're saying that it's bourbon infused with other flavors. So
I don't do that.
Is it possible that it could come out as bourbon that tastes like bourbon, no cherries, and then they add in the cherry flavor after the process?
Yeah. And they couldn't call it bourbon, but they could call it bourbon infused with cherry flavor.
Yeah, right.
How long does bourbon have to, like, sit in a barrel before it becomes bourbon?
You know, I would have to look up the law for sure. I'm thinking it's 5 or 7 years. I can't remember
for sure. Like, Red Stag, about 2 years ago, hit the market and became a big thing. People really dug it. So now you've got all different flavors of whiskeys out there. You've got Red Stag. You have Jack Daniel's Honey.
Mm-hmm.
Is really good. Did they actually come up with this idea fucking 7 years ago?
Well,
and have to put cherries in the cask with the whiskey or what?
Maybe they had some whiskey, some bourbon that wasn't quite up to par, and blended it with some cherry. Actually, Jack Daniel's and Wild Turkey, those are actually honey liqueurs.
So I love Wild
actually,
Turkey.
Oh. They don't actually call themselves bourbons, but they are kind of made in the same fashion. But yeah, I mean, you know, if you think about it, Scotch distillers, because they're so far north of the equator, it takes a lot longer for those to age. You got to say at least 7 years, but most Scotch distillers start 12 to 30 years because of the different temperature and climate. So you think about it, starting your own Scotch distillery, if you're in Scotland, you got to wait 15 years before you can crack open a cask and
bottle. That's an insane investment. Why would you do that now?
yeah, there's just so much on the line. Why? And then you got to do it every year for 15 years before you can finally see a return on it.
God, fuck that.
You got to be thinking way ahead.
Or you make some blended whiskey.
I really don't know where dinner's coming from tomorrow.
I can't fathom how much planning has to go into that.
It's a part-time family venture. You know, back in the old days, they do part-time family stuff for a long time. And eventually it just grows naturally, and then it can become a full-time business.
So like the town tailor might, on the side, make his own booze at home.
Yeah.
Maybe for private consumption, but eventually starts to sell it and shit. And that takes 15 fucking years.
What's the history there? How did it actually spark up? Like
booze? I mean, Egypt? With the pharaohs and shit?
Oh, you're talking to me like I know that.
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't. That's why I was asking.
Oh, yeah. When did fermentation of fruit and beverages become? Like, when did it happen?
Somebody didn't say, oh, hey, I'm going to throw all this stuff together, and then I bet 7 years from now,
if I throw some yeast in this grape juice, I'm going to get fucked up Thursday.
I mean,
Mongolian monks are the earliest that have been found, and Belgian monks, to have made beer.
Was it an accident?
That's really two separate areas, though. Mongolian and Belgian?
Yep. It's disputed on which one. I'm 90% sure everything points to Mongolian. Some people say Belgian, but the Western civilization was civilized so much later than that it's probably Mongolian.
Yeah.
They would, leave grape juice or something like that out, and it would spoil. What's interesting is, in Western culture, is in Germany in the late 14 or 1500s, they came up with the Reinheitsgebot, which is the German purity law for beer.
Yeah, which is still in effect today.
Yeah.
That's why St. Pauli girls?
Well,
right?
It's kind of in effect. You can only use water, yeast, and hops. Or, I'm sorry, water, malt, and hops for your beer.
Okay.
After a few years, they discovered that all their beer turned out shitty, and the reason is because yeast was getting into the beer. They didn't realize it at the time. So then they went back and changed the law to include yeast. So now you can use water, hops, malt, and yeast.
And that's why St. Pauli's girl, in Germany, you have to follow, what's that law called?
The Reinheitsgebot. The German purity law. Yeah.
The German purity law. They made another German purity law a few years later. Didn't work out so well for them.
Yeah. I know what law you're talking about.
Yeah, Arya. Thank you for the hand signals. So the German purity. Oh, fuck.
Drunky McGee, not
this is
going to
be really editing, hard editing. So the German purity law, they had to, the beer that is made in Germany and sold in Germany has to follow that law, but it could be made in Germany and exported to other countries.
Okay.
So St. Pauli's Girl is a classic example of a beer produced in Germany that cannot be sold in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be exported to other countries because it does not follow those rules.
Hmm.
Isn't that fucked up?
That's crazy.
Oh yeah, and the great part was whenever I was in college, I went and spent a summer in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. And you go to every town has one or two breweries that does not sell outside of that town. So you can go to different regions of Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. Maybe there's two or three big breweries there. You know, Steigl would be one. Warsteiner would be another one. But and then you would find all kinds of, Löwenbräu, another. You'd find all kinds of small breweries.
Löwenbräu?
Löwenbräu. Yeah, it's Löwenbräu.
Löwenbräu.
Yeah, Löwenbräu. You can't, those three big ones are all over the place in Europe, but you can only, some of those breweries are so small from town to town to town that you can only buy them at that place,
mm-hmm.
which is awesome, I think.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I mean, I feel the same way about, Indiana beer or, beer from the Midwest is that I really like drinking beers from here, so.
Here's a question. Mongolian monks, somebody left some juice sitting out and it got gross. Which one said, man, I bet if I drank that, I'd forget my phone number tonight.
I wonder if it was like a prisoner or something gave the prisoner some shitty, here's the old juice that we left sitting out, and give it to the prisoners to drink.
And then the prisoners are like, I love jail!
Mongolian monks, why would monks imprison anyone? They're supposed to be peaceful, right?
Mm. Well, I watched Kung Fu, The Legend Continues. I mean, that's a Shaolin monk.
I picture them giving this,
don't laugh at that!
I picture them giving this nasty ass
clay pot full of
Full of old grape juice, essentially, right?
Yeah.
They give it to these prisoners. Cut to the prisoners like standing around playing beer pong on like a long stone slab. Like it just turns into a frat party instantly.
It's like a slate of marble, and they're bong.
Yeah.
I mean, they would do this with all kinds of stuff. Right. They would do, grape juice. They would let grains sit out in water. I mean, which is the elements of, whiskey. Whenever it's made, it is, you take your mash, you mash it in, just like you're brewing beer. The first processes of beer brewing and distilling are very similar.
Okay.
Very similar techniques when you mash your grains, let them soak in water and ferment for a while. Mm-hmm. So it was probably the same with the Mongolian monks. It's just that, whether it's grape juice or, grains that they let sit around in water and just spoil, who knows how exactly it was discovered and who had the balls to drink it first.
And I heard that once you actually have a fermented beverage that's of a higher alcohol percent, like a wine, but not a beer necessarily, it's very easy to keep unspoiled. So if you were a traveling road show, you couldn't take milk or juice with you.
Yeah.
If you wanted something to drink besides water, if you didn't have a cow, then you had to have booze.
Yeah, I mean, the alcohol is a natural preservative. It kills off, germs. What's interesting is the English style of beer, India Pale Ale, became popular during the English occupation of India. So what they would do is they would brew pale ales up in England and ship it around to India, around Africa.
Cape Horn, yeah.
Cape Horn. And what would happen is the beer would spoil. So they would overhop the ever-living piss out of it. Hops is a natural preservative.
No, wait, Cape Horn was South America.
All right, you said it. You threw it out there. But yeah.
Fuck, sorry.
Around Africa, anyway.
Yeah.
And
I just heard gay porn twice.
Gay porn. So they would add a lot of hops, natural preservative, and then you'd get around to India and you get the super hoppy beer, which became an India Pale Ale. So a lot of people think that it was maybe made in India, but it was really made in England and shipped to India.
Look at that! Fucking interesting fact. Good job. That's cool.
That's what the zoologist is all about.
Well, and if you like beer and you like spirits that aren't ghosts and you like wine
that aren't ghosts
as well, check out the zoologist. Follow Network's podcast. You can find it at www.followthe.tv. fucking dick, stop laughing.
I don't know why that's so funny. It's because I've had 4 energy drinks.
Yeah, you're going to be jittery.
Yeah, you're not supposed to drink more than 2 of those in a day. You drink 4 in this sitting.
I haven't even had that much liquor.
Mm. Yeah, I'm about ready to explode.
Okay, so from here at the brothel, I think that's about going to do it this week. Be sure and go to www.tkovapor.com. Use the offer code RANCOR at checkout for 25% off. If you like our intro music, you can find it at www.freemusicarchive.org/music/starseed. Or the music for the Star Wars Minute, you can find it at www.freemusicarchive.org/music/jack... fuck. You know what? I'll put it in the show notes.
Jack-a-fuck.
Jack-a-fuck. It's like Jackson F. Smith, but I might be wrong. So I'll put it in the show notes. You can find that on iTunes. Anything, guys?
Well, since we're here talking about beer, I know a fella named Mike Trueblood who brews his own beer, and I think it's called the Trueblood Brewery, but I'll have more information next issue of the Rancor's Brothel on where you can find his booze. He's won quite a few awards. He goes to a lot of different competitions for his beers. He's got a brick-and-mortar brewery,
He has a brick-and-mortar, and he doesn't just make it up in his head.
Well, it's not like he's burning out of his house. He's got an actual legitimate facility.
That's what I'm saying. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks.
I heard what you meant.
Yeah, right. But I'm putting this on recording, so it will inspire me to actually find the information and get it to you next time. I'm held accountable, essentially. Anything, Jeff?
I have nothing else to add. Thanks a lot for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
No problem. We love having you on here.
Great.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Dustin.
What did Wolverine say to Cyclops?
Bucking horse?
No. He said, "Hey, Cyclops, you know, we are both X-Men."
What?
That's not a joke. What?
Yeah, that's what he said.
I hear crickets in the background.
Like, literally, I do, yeah.
Yeah, just saying, like, that's what he said.
Jeff, punch the piece of shit in the arm.
Is it, we're both X-Men?
As in they lost their cocks?
Or both X-Men?
No, he just said, hey, man, you know, we're both X-Men, bub.
That's bullshit, because fucking Wolverine's an X-Force, he's an Avenger.
But it's still true that he's an X-Man, right?
Good night, everybody.